Stephen King writes horror. If I was a jewel, then I'd light on menorah. I got rhymes for ya, excuse me, senora. Are you a horror? Are you a lady? Is it Erica Boyer or Marsha Bray? Let me know, hun, the deed'll get done. Just on some opposition, I'll take my run, then I'll go fishing. I'll get your river flowing, I'm always in the knowing. It comes to giving pleasure, I'm every woman's treasure. I came to work your body, so let me do my job. I've never been laid off, my rhyme is still paid off. Now I'm making records, now I'm making tapes. Steady busting suckers in bunches like grapes. Making all the pace, scooping up the loot. Putting suckers on the run, pull my gun in and I shoot. I never been a front, I never been a fraud. I got a natural skill for that, I thank the Lord. Cause I feel blessed, I'm casually dressed. I always got my gun, but I never wear the vest. I'm quick on the draw, like the horse named McCraw from the cartoon. Boom, shalak, lock, boom, shalak, lock, boom.
Right now, it is Tuesday. It is 4:30 in the afternoon Pacific Standard Time, which means it's time for Vancouver's preeminent MMA program, In the Cage with Bards. And because the greatest nation in the world is Donation, I am still Carlin Bardsley. Today, it's a special fun drive edition of In the Cage with Bards. We're taking donations for this year's edition of the CITR Fun Drive, which is fun for everyone involved. And trying to raise money to keep the greatness of CITR on the air. And you, of course, can donate at 604-822-8648. I'll run down what different levels of pledges get you as well. A pledge of $30 gets you a Friends of CITR card, which is good for redeemable merchandise at all kinds of great shops in the Vancouver area. A pledge of $60 gets you a Friends of CITR card and a CITR record bag as well. A pledge of $101.09, 101.9. See how they did that there? I like that. It gets you a Friends of CITR card plus a CITR record bag and a limited edition surprise. And we all know how much everyone loves surprises. A pledge of $250 gets two Friends of CITR cards, plus a CITR record bag, a limited edition surprise, and plus a host listener hour. You can take control of the board here at CITR, kick people like me off, and do it your way. I really like that one. A pledge of $500 gets you, again, two Friends of CITR cards, the record bag, the limited edition surprise, a host listener hour, and a commemorative 101.9 CITR FM t-shirt as well. While $1,000 gets you the two cards, a CITR tote bag, much like the ones shown on PBS. I don't know where that came from. A limited edition surprise, a host listener hour, and a CITR hoodie. I've seen those myself. I really love them. They won't give me one. This is your chance to have one. Call in now, 604-822-8648. We have operators standing by, waiting to take your pledges. And in the meantime, I'm going to talk about mixed martial arts because, hey, that's kind of what I do here. Okay, last week, WEC 52 took place in Las Vegas, highlighted by a new chapter in the career of Uriah Faber that started with a bang. The California kid in his debut at bantamweight wasted little time in showing that he is still one of the best fighters in the world, making short work of the very tough and durable Takeya Mizugaki at 450 of the very first round. Faber looked amazing at 135 and was able to keep the pressure on Mizugaki in striking exchanges before a clinch against the cage spelled doom for the Japanese fighter, as Faber was able to jump on Mizugaki's back and sink the rear naked choke, which rendered his opponent unconscious. Faber showed why he has been the face of the WEC promotion and looks to be riding a career renaissance that could see him fight bantamweight champion Dominic Cruz once the promotion is absorbed into the UFC. Faber's Team Alpha Male teammate, Chad Money Mendez, has been called one-dimensional by some, but he showed some improved stand-up skills to complement his perfectly timed takedowns and a dominating win over Javier Vasquez. Vasquez failed to find his timing on the feet, hesitating at times, while Mendez fired off strategic punches and kicks, setting up his unstoppable takedowns. Vasquez utilized the rubber guard to control the posture of Mendez throughout, but spent way too much time on his back over the course of the bout. In the end, the judges all saw it the same way, scoring the bout 30-27, all for Chad Money Mendez. The win keeps Mendez perfect at 9-0 overall and 4-0 in the WEC, and moves him one step closer to a title bout. Making it a hat trick and a sweep for Team Alpha Male was Joseph Benavidez, who is able to rise to the occasion and tap out Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu master Wagner Fabiano with a guillotine choke in round two. Most figured Benavidez would try to keep the fight standing, but Benavidez had other ideas and was completely relentless in going after Fabiano on the mat, attempting different variations of the guillotine before finally getting the tap at 2 minutes and 45 seconds. Also on the card, Duke Rufus trained fighter Eric Koch took out Francisco Rivera in the first round with a head kick followed up by punches on the ground, and Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson defeated the favored Damasio Page by guillotine choke in the third round. Alberta-based Maximum Fighting Championships also put on a card last Friday in front of a sellout crowd at the River Cree Casino just outside of Edmonton. The main event saw Douglas the Phenom Lima live up to his nickname with a scintillating performance that earned him the Maximum Fighting Championships World Welterweight title. Lima fought through the grinding wrestling of Jesse Juarez in the opening two rounds and then let his submission skills go to work, transitioning from attempts at an omoplata to a triangle choke, and then eventually sinking in a fight-ending picture-perfect armbar. The championship glory wasn't the only shining moment for the Lima family, however. In the opening bout of the televised main card, Diego Lima made his MFC debut a successful storyline when he dropped Bill Frazier to the canvas with a one-punch knockout at the 2:36 mark of round two. And just to put a bow on things to the Limas, the duo walked away with both submission and knockout of the night awards. Hometown favorite Ryan, the real deal Ford, bounced back from his loss to Douglas Lima with a much-needed victory in his grudge match with veteran Pete Spratt. Ford, who beat Spratt 2 years ago in a controversy-filled contest, found his rhythm in round two, finally getting Spratt down, pinning him in a corner and alternating between ground and pound and submission attempts before finishing the fight at the 3:07 mark with a choke. Other results on the card saw Dwayne D-Bomb Lewis defeat Razak Al-Hassan by a split decision in a battle of UFC veterans. Rodney, my favorite nickname in the sport, Shownuff the Master Rodney Wallace, defeated David Heath by unanimous decision, and Cajun Johnson defeated Ryan Healy by unanimous decision. We're going to take a quick break and then look at last weekend's UFC event in Germany. And later in the show, we'll preview this weekend's pay-per-view happening in Michigan. So stay tuned. We'll be back right on the other side of this break.
Oh, baby. Baby, I need to shuffle right out. I'm dedicated to all the pretty girls. Pretty girls.
CITR 101.9 FM wants you to own your frequency. Donate to CITR between November 16th and 25th and take ownership of your station.
How do you sleep at night?
On top of a pile of money with many beautiful ladies.
This is your station. Support CITR's Fun Drive 2010.
CITR Fun Drive 2010, November 16th to 25th. Visit CITR.ca to learn more.
And we're back on the Fun Drive edition of In the Cage with Bards. We have operators standing by. Give them a call, 604-822-8648. It's for a great cause, keeping this station on the air and keeping it competitive. And another reason you might want to give some money here to CITR, we are a diverse voice in the really boring, and really stale world of corporate commercial radio. Most of the major stations now are owned by one of two multimedia conglomerates. CITR is a voice for the economically, socially, and politically disadvantaged. I mean, they put me on the air. I'm as economically disadvantaged as one can get. I lack social skills, and politically, well, I'm just kind of tuned out that way. But the CITR invites all to participate in the media. We're providing an alternative and local coverage on issues. We've had plenty of local flavor on the show. UFC fighter Rory McDonald, MMA legend Paul the Mauler Lazenby has been on the show twice and always brings a local perspective. We had former Vancouver Athletic Commission Chairman Mirko Mladenovic on the air, who gave us the inside scoop on a lot of things happening in City Hall that probably wouldn't make air in any other environment. So it's important to... excuse me. I'm sorry, I'm so excited here, I'm choking on it. It's very important that we're able to keep this independent voice on the air. We stay locally relevant, it's vibrant, and it's vital that radio that can only be heard with your support. Give us a call. Operators are standing by, 604-822-8648. That's 604-UBC-UNIT. Give them a call. Tell them Bard sent you, and donate till it hurts. Remember I said the greatest nation in the world is donation. I really do believe that, by the way. I was even going to start up a charity of my own before they started doing this, but they beat me to it. So this one's good enough. Okay, back to MMA news. UFC brought a free show on Spike TV to the masses this past weekend, emanating from the Koenig Pilsner Arena in Oberhausen, Germany, viewed by 2.2 million sets of eyes on the network, and headlined by a middleweight tussle between Nate the Great Marquardt and Yushin Thunder Okami, with the winner getting a crack at the championship currently held by Anderson the Spider Silva. Marquardt had top control early, stuffing an Okami takedown, but an ill-advised guillotine attempt cost Marquardt top position and turned the tide for Okami in the first stanza. After a stall in the action, and there were several in this fight, Okami returned to his feet, avoiding a Marquardt attempt at securing one of his legs on the way out. The fighters then did little on the feet, engaging briefly for a few exchanges, and after some clinch work, Okami earned a late takedown to take round one. Second round was a close one, but appeared to favor Marquardt with a takedown, but neither guy did much on the ground before making their way back to their feet with just under a minute to go in the round. As boos started to scatter in from the German crowd, hard to believe Germans being angry with anything, but there you go. Okami pressed the action late, but Marquardt landed the cleaner shots, and it was apparent that the third stanza would determine the winner. Okami turned to his improving stand-up in the final round, and despite giving up a takedown, Okami found his way quickly to his feet and continued to score with an effective jab and combinations. In the end, Okami did enough to win the fight on the judges' scorecards and walked away with a unanimous decision victory, giving Okami the number one contender spot and a possible rematch with Silva, who Okami defeated by disqualification 4 years ago. UFC President Dana White wasn't thrilled with the performance, however, saying that Marquardt, quote, choked, and added that, quote, Nate Marquardt sat here tonight and said that he thought he won the fight. Where the F is his corner? You can go into the last round and you're getting outstruck by a wrestler and you think you won the fight? And this is consistent with the Greg Jackson camp, where Marquardt obviously trains. White can't be thrilled at the prospect of Okami challenging for the title either. While Okami is a good wrestler and has good position control and composure in the cage, he is often brought up as an example of a fighter whose style isn't as exciting as others and leads to plodding fights, the most recent example of which was shown to the world Saturday night. The co-main event showdown between Jorge Rivera and Alessio Sicara was scrapped at the last minute due to Sicara suffering flu-like symptoms. UFC officials said Sicara wanted to compete despite the condition, but the promotion was forced to pull the fighters when he was vomiting backstage mere hours before he was scheduled to compete. Yeah, I guess UFC can put up with a lot of blood and broken limbs, but vomit, that's a deal breaker. I agree with them. To fill the role, the UFC turned to lightweight bangers Dennis Seiber and Andre Winner, who were expected to deliver fireworks. In the end, it was the German native Seiber who provided the fight's highlights. After a few brief exchanges on the feet, Winner leaped into strike, but Seiber delivered a perfectly timed counter left to the chin, and Winner hit the deck. Seiber looked as if he was about to finish the fight with his fists as a right scored to Winner's dome on the way to the floor. The ground and pound came hard and heavy, but Winner survived. Then the German used his left leg to trap Winner's left arm and transitioned around to his opponent's back with both hooks firmly in place. The rear naked choke was applied instantly, and Winner's fate was sealed at the 3:37 mark of the opening round, giving the German Seiber the win. Friend of the show, Winnipeg's Christoph, the Polish experiment Soshinsky, was able to outlast Croat Gorhan Relic in a three-round light heavyweight struggle by unanimous decision. According to Soshinsky himself, quote, "The plan was simple, just to take my time and be patient. I usually start my fights really fast and furious, but I thought he would be ready for that. So I took my time in the first and second, but I made sure that I was still busy enough that he was getting tired. He got tired in his last two fights. I wanted to see if he'd get tired in this one too, and he did," Soshinsky said. "In the third round, he was dead, exhausted. In the second, he couldn't take me down. I knew I had that round for sure. I just wish I would have finished him because I was so close to getting that finish." Elsewhere on the card, Ultimate Fighter Season 7 winner Amir Sadala showed off his improved kickboxing skills as he cruised to a decision win over German fighter Peter Sabata. And Dwayne Bang Ludwig missed the birth of his son to win a decision victory over Nick Oshipchak. Bang was very emotional after the fight, and obviously he had every right to be missing the birth of his son. But at least the younger Ludwig came into the world knowing that his father is a winner. More fun with the Fun Drive. Don't forget, call in pledges 604-822-8648 and a preview of the next UFC card. We will have that, I guess, after the break. Yeah, seems like a good time for me too.
Producing quality programming costs money. In fact, each hour of live broadcasting costs $28. Add that up over an entire year and you'll see that producing radio is not cheap. That's why once a year, and only once a year, CITR asks our loyal listeners to donate a bit of scratch to Fun Drive. Fun Drive 2010 is on from November 16th to 25th. With your help, we can keep quality radio alive and well. Call 604-UBC Unit or visit CITR.ca to make your donation during Fun Drive, November 16th to 25th.
That's right, Fun Drive is on from the 16th to the 25th here on 101.9 CITR. It's a great cause. What's a greater cause than what you're listening to right now? We only do this once a year. Come to your hat in hand and say, please, let's keep this on the air. We're saving up for a new digital library to keep everything up to date here at the station, to keep everything on the cutting edge, as it were. We only ask once a year for listeners for the station. Your pledge supports the station for an entire year. And if you support CITR at the $250 level, it's less than a dollar a day for a year of incredible programming. You can get a tax receipt on that as well. You can make it easy on your bank account. You know, everyone needs a little bit of relief nowadays. This economy, believe me, I know it more than most. You can split your donation among 12 months by direct deposit. How much really is a year of CITR programming worth to you? There's so much great and diverse programming on this station, including this show, which I'm kind of partial to. You can support CITR during this very important annual fund drive. Give us a call, 604-822-8648 or 604-822-UBC-UNIT. And at that $250 donation level I mentioned, you do get two Friends of CITR cards, plus the CITR record bag, a limited edition surprise. They're going fast. And plus a host listener hour where you yourself can take over CITR for 1 hour and play everything that you want to hear. I think it's a great idea. In fact, you know, I may even do it myself just to get another hour on here. I think half an hour is, it's far too little for someone like me. So I might just pony up myself, get another hour on here for more in the cage. In fact, if you want to donate $250 and give the hour to me, I will accept that. Call 604-822-8648, tell them Bard sent you, make the donation, and all will be well with the world. And all will be well with the UFC as UFC 123 comes at us live on pay-per-view this Saturday from the Palace in Auburn Hills, just outside of Detroit, Michigan. In the main event, it is a clash between two former light heavyweight champions as Quentin Rampage Jackson takes on karate master Lyoto the Dragon Machida. This fight may come down as to which Rampage shows up to the cage. Will it be the absolute beast that we saw knock out Wanderlei Silva, or the fighter who is unable to make adjustments to his game plan in the Forrest Griffin and Rashad Evans bouts? Rampage has been training with Lance Gibson of Port Moody's Gibson Pancration, who he met on the set of the A-Team, and we'll have to see if Gibson is able to help Rampage rediscover his work ethic that he had under Coach Juanito Ibarra. For his part, Lyoto, he always shows up at Gamer. He definitely got caught last time around by current UFC light heavyweight champion Mauricio Shogun Hua, but his preparation and his conditioning are never really in question. His craftiness inside that cage is legendary, and his style makes him nearly impossible to prepare for. There is some video online of Lyoto getting some tips from Steven Seagal, but I'm not going to hold that against Lyoto, and I don't think he's going to enter that cage with a Steven Seagal-type gut. I don't know, maybe he just wanted some tips on how to get a reality show on A&E. I'm willing to forgive everyone once in a while. I am. It's who I am. It's what I do. Rampage has said that he wants to go back to his days from the Pride Fighting organization, which saw him employ a mainly straight-ahead brawling style, coupled with his penchant for slamming opponents on the mat, while Machida will likely use his elusiveness and countering to come back and attack against Rampage. If styles make fights, we're in for a doozy. The co-headliner features the trilogy matchup between BJ Penn and Matt Hughes, who look to settle a score that currently sits at 1-1. Here's what we know as of right now. Penn's coming off back-to-back losses in a division that he dominated for years, that being the 155-pound division. Hughes is seeking a resurgence in his career and is riding a three-fight win streak, that being, of course, at Hughes' home of 170 pounds. We also know these guys do not like each other. This has grudge match written all over it. Technically, in a technical sense, there are few people in all of mixed martial arts who match up well with BJ Penn. His jiu-jitsu is world-class, he's got power and speed in his hands, and he's about as easy to take down as a dump truck. Conditioning, though, both mentally and physically, have not typically been BJ's strong points, and his last three excursions into the welterweight division have been losses, one of which was to Matt Hughes, the other two being to George Rush St. Pierre, the current UFC welterweight champion. Hughes, on the other hand, is never questioned on the physical and mental side. He is a physical beast and plays the mental aspect of MMA probably as well or better than any athlete in the sport. He's tough, he comes in great shape, and he's strong as a frickin' bear. When Frank Trigg was asked why he let go of that rear naked choke he had on Hughes in their rematch, he said, "Have you ever seen Matt Hughes' neck? It's like trying to choke out a telephone pole." He's definitely not as technical as Penn. He's very technically accomplished, don't get me wrong, but BJ Penn's on a whole other level than most people on the planet, really. But he's very adept at playing to his strength. We'll have to see if Hughes' size and strength advantage can continue to give Penn fits at 170 pounds. In the lightweight division, Joe Lauzon takes on the fast-rising George Soteropoulos in what is an early favorite to be fight of the night. Last time out, Lauzon put on a clinic against Gabe Rudiger and looks to get himself into the 155-pound title mix. The most notable wins Lauzon has are his momentous upset over former UFC lightweight champion Jens Pulver and Jeremy the Little Heathen Stevens. Kenny Florian and Sam Stout are the only fighters to defeat J-Lo since he started fighting in the UFC. Since getting a contract in the UFC, Soteropoulos' best wins are a three-round destruction of Joe Daddy Stevenson and another dominant performance over Kurt Batman Pellegrino at UFC 110 and UFC 116, respectively. His only career losses are disqualification against grappling wizard Shinya Aoki in his fourth career fight. He did lose to future UFC fighter Kyle Noak. Both men, as I said, they're grappling wizards, both of them, and we ought to see this one go all over the octagon. The card is rounded out by Mr. Wonderful Phil Davis, looking to remain undefeated against Tim the Barbarian Butch, and Gerald Harris, who has been undefeated inside the UFC, will take on Brazilian shoot-a-box-trained newcomer Miquel Falsal. And we will be back up to wrap everything up on this Fun Drive edition of In the Cage with Barge after this. Just to remind you, pledge operators are standing by. Pledge now, 604-822-8648, and then I'll come back and wrap up the show. Sound like a deal? Okay, works for me too. Be right back.
I thought you would like to know that Fun Drive 2010 is going to be happening from November 16th to the 25th. You should think about making a donation. CITR is working on its library digitization project. This involves an expensive team of super robots working around the clock. Your donation will help us to employ the super robots, which will help us, which will in turn help you. Help us help you. Make a donation during Fun Drive 2010, November 16th to 25th. On your frequency, dude buddy.
All right. Apparently, by donating to the CITR Fund Drive, you're helping the robots too. And robots have feelings too. That they may be pre-programmed, but the fact of the matter is, they're there. You know, you think back of classic robot movies like Batteries Not Included. You know, those little buggers, they had heart. They really had heart. Another reason to support the CITR Fund Drive: we provide students and community members with technical, production, and programming training. Literally anyone with a point of view that is not being served by the mass media can find a home here on CITR. I mean, we have a reputation as a left-leaning station, but a guy like me is on the air talking about fighting every week, and what a great sport mixed martial arts is. We serve all areas of the community. And for people that, they have a point of view, but they don't have broadcast training, let's face it, it can cost a lot. But we offer to anyone for the cost of a membership, which is a pittance, really. I forget what I paid. It was so low. At CITR, we help launch careers in broadcasting. We've had plenty of sports programmers that have made it to the big time. Of course, Nardwar is one of the big features of the station here. Had his career on Much Music sparked from his work on CITR. Our alumni, we work for all the big names, CTV, CKNW, the CBC, the Globe and Mail, many other outlets. Help us provide students and community members with broadcast training and education. Support CITR. Support them now. Give us a call, 604-822-8648. That is 604-822-8648. Tell them In the Cage with Bard sent you. Tell them that you demand more CITR and vote with your dollar on this one. That's why I love democracy. It's basically voting with your dollar, and you can vote to keep CITR running with your dollars. Call now, 604-822-8648. We'll be back next week. I'm going to do a little bit of a different kind of format for In the Cage, seeing as how we'll still be in the midst of the fun drive at that time. We're going to have a bit of a best of In the Cage with Bards, doing some clips from famous interviews we've had this past year, featuring Paul Lazenby, Mauro Ranallo, Mirko Mladenovic, Krzysztof Sojinski, and others. It's going to be a great show. Tune in again next week at 4:30. We're going to go out now with our good friend Krzysztof's entrance music from this past weekend at the UFC. This is Lady Pank, and I don't speak Polish, so I hope I'm not butchering this title too much, but Mien Ni Zero was the name of the song. It's Polish. You can't find music like this anywhere else. You think any other station in Vancouver is going to touch Polish music? You can only hear it here on CITR. I'll be back next week. Until then, the bell has sounded. Bye, everybody.
Bo masz rozum, dwie ręce i chęć. Twoje miejsce. romance.